The fact of life is that politicians love to spend money. We know that, but not always. One example is federal money the states receive for COVID-19 programs. You see, many states are actually sitting on what is really a mountain of money, which also has a ticking clock attached to it. Now, some say that the spending of these funds has to be, as they say, targeted and limited regarding COVID-19 related matters. My next guest is saying that one of those matters is certainly being overlooked. That's the learning loss students experienced during COVID-19 lockdowns. Here to discuss this is the Deputy Director of Building Education for Students Together, author of the book Parent on Purpose, A Courageous Approach to Raising Children in a Complicated World, it certainly is, and a mother of six children herself, Amy Carney. How are you today, Amy?
Great, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Learn more about Building Education for Students Together, which kind of ties into here in New Jersey. At least we have our school board elections this year, so this is one of the organizations that empowers you as a parent if you want to, you know, fix something you see wrong in your school district. ParentsKnowBest.com is the website. So I said that it's one of those weird, rare cases when politicians aren't spending the money. What kind of money are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about $190 billion that were covertly dumped into America's public schools in response to COVID-19. I know New Jersey alone got $2.7 billion in these ESSER funds.
And I'm thinking back, too, I said this to Amy off the air, and I think you should remember, because I've certainly talked about, really about this time last year, the school systems in New Jersey, Department of Education, did try to address what we already saw as developing losses of learning before, from the first era, I guess we could say, of the COVID lockdown. And what did the state do? Well, they came up with programs. You basically had a week's notice, no, I'm barely exaggerating, to get your kid involved with this. So the participation rate was miserable. And because of that failure, I'm afraid, Amy, when we see the stats of the learning loss after this school year, those numbers are certainly not going to be improving.
Yeah, the reality is, I mean, there's just not very much guidance or oversight in how the schools could choose to spend this, you know, influx of money that they've been giving. I mean, it's many questionable programs and projects are being ushered into schools. And like you said, I mean, are they even being utilized properly? I think schools and, LEAs are just scrambling to spend this money, and they're not necessarily consulting with their community and with their parents to see if this is how they should best be spending the money, to address the learning loss that truly happened for our students.
So we've seen some cases where schools have decided to use the money to pony up $250, sometimes $500 if a teacher or school administrator got a COVID vaccine.
Right. We're seeing a lot of money across America being used for that. One district in Phoenix, Arizona, was offering financial incentives, for staff and students to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. They were giving out $100 Visa gift cards for each vaccinated child. And they're also giving $250 gift cards to staff members if they could get 80% of their staff, vaccinated. And so is this really the way we want these funds being used?
When you look, too, at the legislation, normally when we see legislation, it could be thousands of pages long and to the point where no one can read it. You look for a summary or hope for a summary. That's not always the case either. But there are so many vague portions of the legislation that launched this funding that you have companies that are coming into schools not to present educational programs or programs to help students catch up. They're basically bringing in social engineering programs in many cases.
Correct, yes. We've seen Panorama Education as one of those companies really touting their products, which they sell survey software to school districts that supports social and emotional learning and lessons. And so it looks like, this is just a way for these educational companies to make money off of our school districts when really this money needs to be spent on our children and the learning loss that came from COVID-19. But yet only 20% of the money has to go toward learning loss. So we really need to be paying attention to how this money is being spent and be proactive about it.
And with the problem now through two school year cycles really escalating, saw one staff from the Brookings Institute, the learning loss This is nationwide. It's going to be variables from locality to locality, to be sure. But if you take the nationwide learning loss numbers, they are higher than the learning loss experienced by students in New Orleans school districts after Hurricane Katrina.
Correct. Correct. Yes. I mean, the bottom line is that we've got to hold our LEAs responsible. They've accepted this massive federal funding, right? And we need to help them figure out how we need to best spend it. We've got to be proactive. We've got to be looking on our local districts' websites, seeing the plan on how they are spending it. And they are required to have meaningful consultation with the community. Now, is that really happening? I'm not so sure. But they are required to have meaningful consultation and get feedback from the community on how this money should be spent.
Well, I thought from what I was reading, I thought that was one of the, again, the vague areas or the abstract versus concrete areas of the legislation, because I had seen a couple of sources saying there's no requirement for local boards to approve the spending plans or for the uses of funds plan to ever be updated from the original posting on a school district website. So you can post something up there, but then you can amend it after the fact and change whatever you want. But you're not, as a school board, obligated to let the parents or the taxpayers, if they don't have kids in the school, to be aware of what you're doing with this money.
You're correct. There is no requirement for school boards to approve these spending plans or for the use of the funds plan to ever be updated, like you said. So we've got to be going to our school board meetings. We've got to be tuning into those and paying attention because, we've got to hold our school districts accountable. This is an influx of money that could be used for good, and unfortunately, we're seeing it just being thrown around on things that aren't necessarily beneficial to our kids.
So with Amy Kearney, who is Deputy Director of Building Education for Students Together, she's also author of the book Parent on Purpose, A Courageous Approach to Raising Children in a Complicated World. ParentsKnowBest.com, the website for the organization Amy is a part of. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Reading some reports, too, from, again, I had a report from Brookings, as well as, I want to give them credit here if I want to get up real fast, the American Institutes for Research, Dartmouth College, Harvard, they basically looked at three ways to productively spend the money. One is massive tutoring, almost at the point of a one-to-one ratio. Another is an expansion of the school years. They had another one in there, but these two are really sound like the most concrete because the schools are barking about expanding tutoring for the cost. They have to open up the buildings, the time they're not going to open up buildings, lights and everything else. But an expanding of the school year, well, you got the staff, you got the building, you got the location. What's the issue here?
I think the issue is communication too. People, like you said, what happened last year is the same thing happening this year, is we're not even understanding the options that we have for our children. It's so complex and not being communicated properly. So I'm not sure if this is the best way to go about spending this money.
And the third way, by the way, was summer school, but we all know that it's, on a good year, enrollment in summer school is maybe 10% because, parents, I'm playing devil's advocate here, not every parent sees the education process for a kid who's having trouble as really the top priority that it should be, but also, too, with the summer schools, they're not like that Mark Harmon movie, but they're not far off from that either.
That's true. But another thing we've got to be paying attention to is a lot of funds are being used to hire counselors, social workers, interventionists, and we've got to be careful because of the fiscal deficits that are going to come when this money runs out. How are we going to afford to pay all these individuals and administrators that we've hired with this money? And this could be a huge problem when this money runs out in September of 2024.
That's the thing that really makes, at least in my mind, at least the expansion of the school year. The one report said expand it for 2 years and you'll compensate for what on the average is anywhere between a 12 to 19 week loss of learning, depending on the students. And there's also demographic differences. Those from lower economic families, from minority families suffering learning losses up to 20 to 24 weeks. So an expansion of the school year using what you already have would eliminate that concern about, okay, the money's gone. Well, we're already paying what we have here, so that's not going to be an issue.
Right. Yeah, I'm just overwhelmed with all the money that is in our local education agencies that needs to be spent, and no one seems to have a clear plan. Everyone's doing it differently from district to district, and like you said, there's not much guidance on this, so they can pretty much do what they want. As long as they can properly code it, they'll be able to, you know, tie this to ESSER funding and spend it, and it will be gone, and not much will be gone, you know, toward learning loss for our students.
There have been cases of teachers getting raises from this money, and on the opposite end, you have the Los Angeles Unified School District that at last report has not spent a penny. How much do they have sitting in their bank account of release funds? $2.5 billion.
Right. Well, we've also heard that they're going to, you know, districts are going to be looking to get extensions for this money. So this could be something that we see soon on the horizon, right, that they haven't spent it, so they want an extension to be able to use it, where other districts have pretty much spent all of it already.
With very little of any results, and this money, at least according to the plan, is supposed to expire, and if you're sitting on it, they're going to yank it out from under you and take it back in September of 2024, which if that happens, that should even hang you as a parent of a student who is having a learning loss experience even more so, because the tools are there for schools to do something. But what they're doing, as report after report demonstrates, is just not working. So, again, I mentioned that, you know, in the election cycle this year in New Jersey and elsewhere, if you're listening on the stream, school board elections are in the here and now. So that's the time for you to raise your voice, because these school board people, they like where they are. And if they are feeling jeopardized because of their lack of action, which you point out to them, well, maybe you'll get some action out of them sooner versus later. That would be a nice change. Learn more about the work of Building Education for Students Together. You can visit their website, parentsknowbest.com. Amy's also authored the book Parent on Purpose, A Courageous Approach to Raising Children in a Complicated World. Amy Carney, thank you so much for helping parents understand what role they're supposed to be playing, and hopefully making the schools understand the responsibilities that they're supposed to be accepting and taking action with. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Chris.